and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard. Today we're speaking with international speaker and teacher Heather Ash Amara. She's the author of the best-selling book, Warrior Goddess Training, Becoming the Woman You Are Meant to Be, and her latest book, Warrior Goddess Way, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. And the heart of Amara's teachings stems from her long Toltec apprenticeship and teaching partnership with Don Miguel Ruiz, who you may know from the Four Agreements. After studying under Ruiz, Amara founded the Toltec Center of Creative Intent, which is a non-denominational religious organization based in the wisdom of the Toltec and the Four Agreements. And over the past 15 years, she's taught workshops and apprenticeships and trained teachers. She now travels the world working with women to integrate the feminine wisdom of the ancients into their modern lives. Welcome to the show, Heather Ash.
Thanks so much, Marie. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being with us. And as you know, we like to start synchronicity with a moment of intention. And I'm wondering if you'd like to take a moment to lead us through that.
Yes, I would love to. So if everyone can close your eyes and take a breath into your heart. And imagine that you can send your awareness down your spine, and that you can keep sending your awareness down into the earth beneath you. And imagine that you can sink a taproot down into the earth. With every exhalation, imagining that you can send that taproot deeper and deeper into the earth. And when that taproot goes into the soil, it spreads out into roots. And you can feel those roots sinking down and spreading out and connecting your physical body and your energetic body with the earth. Imagine those solid, strong roots in the earth. And that you can then begin to inhale and call the energy of the earth up through your roots. So with every inhalation, imagine that you're pulling energy, groundedness, presence up through your roots and breathing that earth energy up into your body. Imagining that you're breathing that energy up into your feet, your legs, your pelvis. And then continue to breathe that earth energy up your core, feeling that sense of connection to the earth. Pulling the energy all the way up to collarbones, letting it run down arms, elbows, wrists into your hands. And taking a breath to breathe this earth energy up into your throat. And up into your head. And with this strong connection to earth, imagine now that you can breathe all the way through your body to your crown. Open the crown, very top of the head, and visualize branches going wide to sky. Sensing the vastness of space, the sun, the moon, the stars. And as you exhale, you can imagine connecting sky through your body to earth. So letting some of that sky energy move through you effortlessly and down to earth. And as you breathe, just stay connected to your roots and your branches. Nice.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Heather Ash.
You're welcome.
That was beautiful. So I was reading on your website, which is heatherashamara.com, and I will post a link to that in the YouTube description as well as on my website, mariebenard.com. And you were sharing about how you wanted to write a book from as young as 7 years old. So I'm wondering if you could tell us just a little bit about the story of how you developed this warrior goddess training and what inspired you.
Yes, it's true. When I was 7, I had a really clear knowing that I wanted to write a book, and I sat down to start writing it, and I got a page in, and I went, huh, I don't think I've had enough life experience to write a book yet. So I went out and played. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I felt like I had integrated a lot of different teachings that I wanted to share. And at that time, I had started studying European shamanism. I had grown up in Southeast Asia, and when I first moved to the States, I felt really disconnected and wasn't sure how to find my footing. And after being really involved in politics for several years, I then started studying different spiritual traditions. And I made the decision to start with European shamanism simply because that's my background. And I was curious what my ancestors studied, what they knew. And I learned a lot about the cycles of the seasons, working with the elements, and really honoring beginnings and endings, different aspects of life. And about maybe 5 years into teaching European shamanism, I had a feeling sense that I was missing something, that I wanted more. And I had a dream about a man, and it was very clear in my dream, this person's going to change your life. And I remember waking up thinking, right, where am I going to find this powerful shaman person? And about a week later, a friend came into my office and said, oh my God, you have to meet this man. And my whole body went, I'm not ready. And that human ended up being Don Miguel Ruiz. And it literally took me a year before I went and met him. And once I did, I felt really clearly that these teachings were what I had been looking for. And so I went into a long apprenticeship program with him and the community. And so warrior goddess training is a synthesis of European shamanism and the Toltec wisdom, which is based out of Mexico, and a weaving of these two traditions. And they work really well together because one is earth-based, goddess-oriented. One is really intent-based and warrior-oriented. And so it brings both of those energies together.
Thank you, Heather Ashen. And I'm curious if you can say more about what do you mean when you say warrior? Because I imagine people have a lot of different images in their mind when they hear the word warrior.
Yes. Some people really don't like that word. And I feel like as women especially, we need to reclaim that word because that's an ancient word that is really about coming into our commitment, our present, and our absolute focus. And being 100% clear about where we're going. So that's the warrior energy. It's about presence. And the goddess energy, which sometimes people are like, what does that mean? Is about opening. It's about creativity, curiosity, and there's a lot of different ways that we can connect to the goddess energy because there's so many different types of goddesses. And when we're working with these two energies, it's not that we're trying to balance, I'm supposed to be 50% warrior and 50% goddess, and then I'll be fine. It's we're trying to find what's our essence. And for some of us, we're much more warrior-oriented. That's our essence, you can say. And others of us are much more goddess-oriented. We want to learn to honor what our balance is. And then also learn to use these two energies as appropriate. Because there's some situations you really want warrior energy. You want that clarity. You want that focus. You want that direction. And there's other times that it's very beneficial to have goddess energy, to have that open, curious, surrendered, creative force. moving in the world.
Thank you, Heather. And why is it so important now for women, or is it important for women to step into who they're meant to be?
We have, as women, have a lot of external freedom, especially in the West. So we have the freedom to vote. We have the freedom to work at pretty much any job we want to. And that's really different than just even 100 years ago. Women's lives were incredibly limited. So we have this incredible external freedom. But what I've noticed is as women, we don't have as much internal freedom. There are many places that we're still chained to old ways of being. There's baggage we've carried on from our ancestors, from what we've been taught growing up. And we often compare ourselves, have low self-worth, try to make ourselves small, try to fix everybody else, and are often incredibly judgmental towards ourselves and victimized by the world. So in order to move forward, I see that as women, we need to get free on the inside. We need to break those old chains of what we're carrying forward from the past so that we can really step into who we are. And I believe now the world needs women's wisdom. And in order for us to get back in touch with our wisdom, there's a lot we need to let go of that we've been carrying that doesn't serve us any longer. So I see this time right now, we're in a big paradigm shift. And that paradigm shift is about women coming back into their power, not to have power over, but to really cultivate our power from within. And that power from within is about telling ourselves the truth, being vulnerable, committing to ourselves, and to get full again, to allow ourselves to open, let go of what's not ours, and to feed ourselves, to nurture ourselves so that we're full, so that we can then give in a sustainable way. And it's a really crucial time for us right now.
Heather, I'm wondering what is your vision? What do you see the world being like when we as women start to step into this power?
Oh, such a great question. I know that as women step into our power, we work in community. Often as women, we're really geared towards working with each other. And so what I see is that as more women step into their power, that we're not just going, I'm going to get into my power and then I'm going to get exactly what I want. We're saying, how do I help my family? How do I support other women in coming into their power? How do we work together to make a better world, to improve our families, to improve the living situation for people that aren't as fortunate? What I see as women is we have this innate desire to help the whole rather than just the individual. And I feel like in America especially, but around the world now in the West, we've swung very far to the side of individual. And we really need to balance that by opening to how do we serve all. Now, in order to do that, we need to be full. So this place that as women we've left ourselves out of the equation and tried to make everybody else okay, that doesn't work. So the paradigm shift is coming back home to ourselves. So we're really connected to who we are, who we are meant to be, which is that essence that we are. We're connected back to our spirit, our connection to our intuition, our connection to our knowing, our connection to our silence, that we're back home with ourselves, and that from that place of fullness, then we see, okay, where are my gifts needed? Where can I be of service? And we help then others to get full as well.
That's so beautiful, Heather Ash. And I'm curious, this is something I've been noticing since the election and coming up to the election, is there's a lot of anger and fear that I'm noticing, especially on social media, because that's where I connect with most of my American friends. And I'm just wondering how you can help women to express those concerns in a way that is going to inspire people to take action, because what I'm noticing is a lot of more of an attacking, fearful energy, which is incredibly understandable. And at the same time, I see that it's adding to the fear, and that's concerning for me, because something needs to be done, and yet there's a way to elicit support and a team. And I'm wondering what you have to say about that.
Yes, what I see now is that it's really important to name what we're feeling. So right after the election, I sat down and wrote down what all my fears were and just made a list and let it pour out of me. And that's part of the process of naming what the fears are, so that we're not continuing to live them. So put them out, let yourself feel the feelings, and then get really clear, what do you want to create? So we want to then put our attention to not making assumptions that we know what's going to happen, and also not going back to sleep and pretending like it'll all be fine. Because the truth is, we don't know what's going to happen. We know that there's a possibility, because of what we've seen of Trump and his actions, that violence might increase, that we might be really struggling with reproductive rights and with a lot of things that we've made a lot of forward progress on. And so to not stay in fear, to really hold, what's the world that I want to create, and to make a commitment to take action for that world. I wrote a blog about this, and the thing that I wrote was that it's really important to recognize that we vote every day. We vote with every action that we take. And so just because the elections in the United States are over, it doesn't mean that we can just say, okay, well, that's it. There's nothing I can do, because there's a tremendous amount that we can do. And we need to stay connected with each other, to remind each other, to have hope, to get clear about where we want to put our energy, and then to take actions as they arise that feel in alignment with us. And so what I see often is that we either go into incredible negativity of everything's horrible, it's going to be really, really bad, or into fear and get frozen, or into a sense of hopelessness. Or I've also talked to women that are like, I'm just checking out, I can't do this, which is fine too. We want to honor what our truth is. And in order to make change, whether this is internal change or external change, we need to stay connected to our creativity, to our vision, and to taking action over and over again, knowing that those actions do have impact, and that with every action we're taking, we're voting for the world that we want to create.
Oh, that was so beautifully said, Heather Ash. Thank you.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Allow me to tell you about Unceded Airways.
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What? I certainly wish I could hear about Indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from Indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in Indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Monday mornings at 11. Yeah. Or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you at?
Right now, we are speaking with Heather Ash Amara. She is the author of the best-selling book, Warrior Goddess Training, Becoming the Woman You Are Meant to Be, and her latest book, Warrior Goddess Way, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. And you can find her at heatherashamara.com. Now, Heather Ash, there is a large male listening audience on this show as well. It's about 50-50. So I'm wondering if, just to keep it inclusive, if there is anything that male listeners can do either to support themselves or to support the women in their lives.
Absolutely. So a lot of the principles in Warrior Goddess Training apply to men. I have a lot of male friends that have read the book that have learned a tremendous amount from it for themselves, as also how to support their female friends. And so as men, we want to support every individual, I'll put it that way, in looking at what old agreements are we carrying from the past that don't serve us. And so just like women have many agreements that don't serve us, men also have learned particular ways to be that may not be helpful, and also have learned strategies that can really harm. And so one place to explore is, what are the different strategies that we're holding? And what are also the agreements, like as a man, what did you learn it meant to be a man? What was modeled to you from your family, from your mother as well as from your father? What were the role models around masculinity that were around you that you may have taken on and are living from still unconsciously? And for all of us, we each make conscious agreements and unconscious agreements. So a conscious agreement is something that we are mindfully saying, yes, I'm stepping into this. But for most of us, what's really directing our behaviors is our unconscious agreements. And those are often incredibly powerful because they're often coupled with emotion. So an example of an unconscious agreement, if you can imagine being a little kid and being in the car and having your favorite song come on, and you're singing really loud to your favorite song and you're loving the song, and one of your parents says, stop singing right now. You might at that moment make an unconscious agreement, I can't sing. And perhaps what was happening is that your parent heard a siren in the background and they couldn't tell where it was coming from, so they needed you to stop singing, or they're about to get a migraine. But what happened is that you make this unconscious agreement, I can't sing. And even if your parent says, I'm so sorry, I shut you down, I love your singing, let's sing together, you would probably, if you believed that agreement, say, no, I can't sing, I don't want to sing with you. So if you can imagine being like 21 years old and your friends come and grab you and say, okay, we're going to karaoke for your birthday, your first reaction would not be, wow, that sounds like fun. It would be, no. You'd have a really strong body reaction probably. And you probably wouldn't remember, oh, I had that experience when I was a kid that said I can't sing because one of my parents told me to stop singing. You probably wouldn't remember that. You would just have fear in your body. You just have this really strong, no, I can't do that. And so for all of us to unwind these old agreements, we have to be willing to pay attention to when we feel discomfort, to when we feel triggered. as we're moving through our world. And the world is reflecting to us our old agreements. We just have to pay attention. So when an agreement arises, what happens is you'll have a body response. And if you can stay with yourself instead of running away from the discomfort or blaming it on somebody else or judging yourself, get curious and say, okay, well, what agreement might I have? And in that way, you can begin to track back. And you don't need to recognize or understand where it came from originally or have the exact memory. You just have to have the willingness to explore what agreement you might be holding that's limiting you now. And as we change the agreements, it's not necessarily comfortable. And I think this is where all of us get confused sometimes, because we think, well, if I'm doing well on my spiritual path, then I should feel good all the time. But what I've seen is that there's a part of the process where it's uncomfortable because we're going against those old agreements that aren't, and it doesn't feel familiar. And so that part can be scary. It can feel vulnerable. It can feel tender. And so to really hold ourselves through to get clear about what do I want? Do I want to sing? Even if it's uncomfortable, yeah, I think I do. And so for men, some of the agreements that men tend to learn or be domesticated as they grow up is that not allowed to have feelings, or if they have feelings, they can have anger, but they can't have grief. Feeling that they have to provide for other people. Feeling that they have to present themselves in a particular way. So there's particular themes that men have versus themes that women have, which is why I wrote Warrior Goddess Training, is to give women some focus around creating change. But the truth is, most of the agreements that we make as women are very similar to the agreements that men make. And the way that we unravel them is identical. Mm. It's through awareness, number one, and then conscious transformation.
Thank you, Heather Ash. It's interesting, today the library that I go to is connected with a mall, and I forgot that today, when we're recording this interview, is Black Friday. And so I went to the mall and there was nowhere to park and it was completely packed. And it reminded me of just, it, to me, it felt like programming. It's like, okay, well, that's what you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to go and spend a lot of money on Black Friday or heading into the Christmas season, because that's just what we're trained to do by marketers, by our society. And so I'm wondering if you have anything to say about how we can be more present coming into this season that has a lot of programming already infused into it.
Such a good point, because it does. The programming around this time of year is huge. And to really give ourselves permission to keep asking, what do I want at this time? This time of year, seasonally, for those of us that are in the Northern Hemisphere, is around going into the darkness. It's about getting quiet. It's about stillness. And so we're at odds, because what's happening culturally is go out, be out in the world more, go shopping, be around people. And I always encourage people at this time of year to listen deeply to, what do you want? What would really serve you at this time? And to be willing to follow that rather than following what you've always done. And sometimes that can be hard, and it's also so rewarding. So even if in little ways you start changing patterns and behavior, it may be that you really feel into it and realize, you know, I always feel achy after eating a lot at around the holidays. And so this year I'm going to really honor myself by not eating sugar and not staying super long after the meal or something. So you want to keep coming back to feeling, what do you want to create? And sometimes where I'll have people start is to get quiet and then write down, if you could have anything you wanted and it wasn't going to affect anybody else in your world, you had all the resources you needed, what would you do for the next month? What would you want to create for yourself? And start there and just write everything down. And then go back through and say, okay, what's realistic? What do you want to do? How can you bridge that vision with current reality? And what things would you want to shift? And creativity is really the key, to not play like it's black, white. Well, I have to either do it 100% or not do it at all. But to keep inviting yourself to play with it, to have fun with it. You know, an example with me is I'm not a huge shopper. My family loves to go shopping around this time. And so what I started doing was playing a game where I would save up what I needed to buy. Like if I needed to buy myself a pair of boots, I would wait until I was with my family. And then I would say, okay, I need a pair of boots and a new pair of jeans. And then we'd get so excited and we'd like go on a hunt for the boots. And I just made it this fun thing for me as well as them of like, now we're doing this particular kind of warrior task. And it kept me connected with my family, but I also then didn't have to like pull away from them, but also not engage in the same way. I gave it a focus that worked for me. And that was just a little example that helps me out on my journey.
Thank you. I love that. And I just had a thought of, I know for myself that I'm the kind of person who I love to give gifts when I feel inspired. If I see something that is just screams this person, then I love to give that gift. But through years of the obligation of gift giving around the holidays, I've really lost a lot of the joy of gift giving. It kind of just feels like we're trading gift cards at this point, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering if you have any insight into that or any tips on how to shift that attitude or something.
Yeah, a couple things. One, you could spend the year, if you see something that you think someone would love, get it, but don't give it to them until this time. So you just save it all year and you just kind of build up the stock. The other thing you can do is to write a letter to people in your world and just say, I will give gifts when I feel like, just like what you said, I'm going to give gifts when I feel inspired for this year. You can say, I'm running an experiment. And for this year, sometime this year, I'll be buying you a present, but it's not going to be today. And it'll show up unexpectedly. And I hope that it totally lights your world up when you get it then. And there's no obligation for you to give me a gift or not give a gift. This is just a choice I'm making for this year. So you give people a warning, and that then frees you from the obligation of you have to give it at a particular time, and then frees up getting to be in your world and see what comes to you, like you said, that inspires you to give to somebody. Rather than it must be done right now.
Oh, I love that. That's so helpful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm curious, we've talked a lot about knowing what it is that you want and feeling that. And so I'm wondering if there are any tips or tricks to trusting that, because I know for myself, and I'm sure this is true for a lot of other people, there might be 20 different conflicting things that we want, or it's difficult to know, is this a gut reaction out of fear, or is this a gut reaction out of what's right for me?
Yes. Yeah, learning what our signals are can take time. And often in the beginning, when we're first trying to figure out, is this what I really want? Is this my intent? Or is this an old pattern that's coming through? Is to take action with a lot of awareness and then look back later and learn from that action. Because sometimes you can't tell right away. And it's not till later that you look back and you go, oh, right, that wasn't exactly the action from my intuition. That was actually from an old pattern. What happens if you're willing to go back and learn from your actions without judging yourself, but just simply like, okay, well, was that intuition or was that an old pattern? You'll start to then see the difference, the subtle difference between intuition versus a pattern. And it's that willingness to make the mistake and then look back and learn, I found, that allows us to get really honed. And what we're doing is we're learning to become intimate with ourselves. We're learning to befriend ourselves. So when we are trying to live always being perfect and make the right decision, we really stifle ourselves. And we end up creating this whole energy of, I can't make a mistake, I have to get the right, do the right thing. And it actually shuts our intuition down. Anytime we go into stress or worry or judgment, we're less open because some of our energy is being taken by that judgment. And so giving ourselves permission to experiment, to explore, to learn as we're going along, to learn what is the feeling sense of intuition versus the feeling sense of a pattern. And again, I'll just use myself as an example. I remember a time when I took an action that I thought was from my intuition. And when I looked back at it later, I realized, oh my gosh, that was so much from a pattern. And like there were synchronicities, there was all this stuff going on. But the truth was, I was acting out of something old. And when I saw it, instead of beating myself up, I just really went inside and listened to, okay, what did it feel like? And as I tracked back, I recognized there was a level of tension and a level of I have to that was wrapped up in my choice. And when I compared that to what felt like was really an intuitive feeling, when an experience, when I looked back at it, I went, oh yeah, I was in alignment there. The feeling sense in my body was more of a sense of calm, and the voice was really quiet, I noticed. And so with that information, then I started really staying with myself. If I felt a sense of a push, I would question it. And if I felt a sense of relaxation, I would know, okay, I'm probably on the right track. And over time, then I just kept honing it. And so for each of us, and I'm still honing it, for each of us, that willingness to explore, to be wrong, to learn from the past, to readjust over and over again is really helpful.
Thank you. I'm curious, Heather Ash, if you could look back on an old version of yourself, what might you say to that version of Heather Ash?
I would say to have faith that things are unfolding as they're meant to, and that even when things are incredibly challenging, that there are gifts right on the other side. And to not abandon yourself. I would tell that younger version of myself that the most important relationship is our relationship with ourselves. And so to stay really connected and listen deeply and also be willing to make mistakes, to not try and be perfect for everybody else. And the last thing would be to not be afraid to love, to not be afraid of loss, and to not be afraid to love.
Thank you so much. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago that when we are in fear, when we're stifling ourselves and stuck in indecision, that's when we're not able to access creativity and intuition. Emotions can be incredibly contagious, and we've already spoken a bit about the fear that's in the air and the pressure that's in the air, whether it's to do with the election or to do with this upcoming holiday season. There's a lot going on that is just sort of part of our societal condition. And I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about what happens when one person starts to stand in their power and the potential for that to become contagious.
Yes, it absolutely is. Now, there was a study done that I heard about of people that were put into a room and they were told, hold a particular emotion, hold a particular state. And that was all, just hold it, don't act it out, just hold that particular state. And then they took individuals and they'd send them into the room. So there'd be two people in the room, one person holding a particular emotion and one person sitting with them. And they would have them stay in the room for 2 minutes. There'd be no words exchanged. And then the person would leave. And what they found is that it only took less than 2 minutes for the person that went into the room to entrain to the person that was holding the particular state. So that happens really quickly, again, without words. We, as we move through the world, have a tendency to entrain with people around us. And you know, sometimes people get freaked out about this because they're like, oh my God, that means I'm being super affected by everybody around me. And for me, it's super exciting because what that means is if I'm aware of the state I want to hold, then I'm going to entrain other people to me. The person that has the more energy and the more consciousness is the one that other people will entrain to. So we need to be mindful as we're moving through the world because there is a lot of fear right now. And when we go unconscious, we can get easily wrapped up in that fear or wrapped up in emotions that are around us. And when we are steady in ourselves, when we're present and steady in ourselves, and we wake up every day and say, okay, what kind of a day do I want to create today? Where do I want to put my attention? Where do I want to put my energy? And we then cultivate that throughout the day. What happens is that we then get solid regardless of what's happening around us. So people can be in crisis, people can be struggling, and we stay steady. And even if we do get impacted by somebody else, because it happens, you know, sometimes the world gets super crazy around us and we get triggered, we get taken out by somebody else's emotion. What I found is that when we've cultivated that relationship with ourselves where we're clear about where we're putting our attention, that even when we slip or even when we get overwhelmed, it's easier to find our way back. But what we need to do is to cultivate a practice so that we're building a road inside of ourselves to come back to when things get challenging. It's not so helpful when our lives get really chaotic to at that moment go, ooh, I guess I should ground, or I guess I should come back home to myself. We actually want to be building the muscle, we can say, when life is good or when things are easy, so that that gets strengthened, so that it's easier to find our way back when we do get thrown off course. And another thing I like to remind people is this great metaphor. There was a group of scientists that created a biosphere. It was a completely encapsulated environment. And they built gardens and planted trees, and there were humans that lived in this biosphere for a number of years. And what they found is that for the first 2 years, all the trees that they had planted grew really fast, and they grew really tall, like super tall. And then the third year, all the trees fell over. And when they went in later to investigate, what they learned is that trees need wind to get solid.
Wow.
They don't have wind, they don't have the internal stability. And I believe humans are the same way. It really, we don't want to live our lives avoiding conflict or avoiding difficulty, because it's the difficulty that will help us to become internally strong. If we use it in that way, if we're using it as a warrior. And for me, the warrior energy is that we use everything that happens in our life to benefit, to learn, to grow. And that in that way, we get more and more solid. And for many of us, we've been trained to use everything against ourselves. Yeah. So to use, to judge ourselves, I mean, even spiritual teachings. How many times have we like read a spiritual book and then 2 days later, our judge is like, well, you read that book, but you can't do it. You know, somehow we start judging ourselves for what we're reading or what we're learning about, rather than going, okay, how can I best support myself? So that's a big transformation that we need to do to get more aligned and solid inside of ourselves.
Thank you so much, Heather. Actually, yeah, for myself and my personal growth journey, I spent so many years trying to or wishing for my life to be easy. Mm. You know, if I can only get to this point, my life will be easy. And I think that's the goal for a lot of people. If I can only sacrifice 15 years of working 85 hours a week, then it'll be smooth sailing after that. And so we sacrifice and sacrifice for this completely unrealistic goal that everything's going to be ideal. And frankly, if we did get that, we'd probably be pretty bored pretty quickly.
Yes. Yeah. And it's such a trap, because there is this belief that if I'm good and work hard, then everything will be easy, like you're saying. And life isn't easy. Life is beautiful, it's poignant, it's precious, but it's not easy. And the idea that we're doing it right if it's easy is false. And that somehow we're good if our life is easy. And the truth is, life is life. There's going to be times that it's sweet and wonderful and joyful, and there's going to be times that it's going to be challenging. And we can actually teach ourselves to enjoy the challenges as well. Even the really hard times, we can stay connected to our heart and can stay connected to, this is part of the cycle. Instead of running away from it, to turn and face it with our heart wide open. Heather, and to let it strengthen us.
Thank you. Sorry, I interrupted you there. You had mentioned earlier the idea of moving into something in a relaxing way versus a pushing way. And I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about the difference between following our guidance where it's relaxing versus chasing what's easy. Because I think that a lot of people think, oh, well, if it's relaxing, that must mean it's easy. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yes. Good point. So what we need to do first is get clear about what we want. What's our intent? And I like to look at what's my intent in different situations. So my intent, my focus at work might be different than my intent and my focus in relationships. And my intent and my focus in my relationships, like intimate relationships, might be one thing 1 year, but 5 years later, it might shift depending on how I've grown or changed. And so we start there. What do you want at work? What do you want within your relationships? What do you want in relationship with your body, with your spiritual connection? And to make it not something that's external, like I want to be at a work where situation where everybody loves me and it's fine. That what you want to explore is, what do I want to feel at work? What's the feeling sense that I want to create at work inside of myself? And that then helps to guide us as we move forward. And knowing where you want to go, then we listen to the intuition and the impulses around right action. And what happens is sometimes the actions we recognize, like, oh, that's going to be challenging, but that's going to help me lead to where I want to go. And I think about this as the difference between short-term gain and long-term gain. So, or short-term nourishment and long-term nourishment. So we've often become habituated to going for short-term nourishment. And that's what will make me feel good immediately. So examples of short-term nourishment are that, you know, fifth cup of coffee in the afternoon to keep you going, or the sugar bomb. So in the short term, it works. In the long term, it has effects. Another one short term is people that don't speak their truth. You know, someone says, hey, where do you want to go to lunch? Oh, I don't know. Where do you want to go to lunch? So in the short term, it feels good because they're being liked and they're going along with everybody else. But in the long term, what happens is we get resentful, or we feel like we don't know who we are. So when we start to look at our decisions in the term of, is this just short-term nourishment, or is this going to support me in the long term? And we start gearing ourselves towards long-term nourishment, then we don't mind if the choice we're making is difficult in the short term, because we're looking ahead at where we're going. When we just live our lives through short-term nourishment, we always go for the easy choice. But what you learn over time is that it doesn't serve. And so that place of being willing to look at, what choices are you making, and are they serving you in the long run? And to know that sometimes what serves us in the long run is going to be uncomfortable in the short run. And often it becomes pretty clear when we have those two pieces in place. One, where do I want to go? What's my intent? And then the second piece, how do I move towards long-term nourishment versus just short-term nourishment?
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host, Tim, a.k.a. Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
Have you ever thought about going abroad to study, work, intern, or learn a language? Mark Sunday, October 21st in your calendar and get down to the Vancouver Convention Center East Building to find out how. All the experts under one roof. Top universities, gap year specialists, and student travel organizations. Feature seminar on scholarships starts at noon and expo opens at 1 p.m. Admission is free. Check online at studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
All right, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal? What the f***?
It's a script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain, okay, just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR. Well, we have been speaking with Heather Ash Amara. She is the author of Warrior Goddess Training, Becoming the Woman You Are Meant to Be, and her latest book, Warrior Goddess Way, Claiming the Woman You Are Destined to Be. You can find her at heatherashamara.com. That's A-M-A-R-A, heatherashamara.com. And Heather Ash, I'm wondering if there's anything really important that we haven't covered yet, or what would you like to leave us with today?
To cultivate the qualities of patience, that change takes time, and undoing the places that we've been judging ourselves or comparing ourselves or feeling victimized by the world, that it takes patience to unravel these old agreements and beliefs. And that it's really helpful to have community, to gather community around you that are really interested in who are you, rather than a community that says, this is who we need you to be part of our community, to find community that says, we want to know who you are. We're excited to meet you, and we'll help you to bring out the fullness of your gifts and who you really are. And also to have deep perseverance. So that place of coming back over and over again. And also a sense of humor. Now, one of the old agreements we have as a culture, we can say, or a society right now, is that if you work really, really hard, then you can have fun. And this idea of, like, I have to be perfect and then I can relax. Have fun now. Enjoy everything. Life is so amazing. Life is such a gift. And when we really come back to recognizing that we are incredibly blessed with the life we have, even the challenges, even the fears, that we hold that place of gratitude and we let ourselves enjoy what we have and play as often as possible to do more of the things you love. Because really the work is about cleaning up the old agreements and beliefs from the past that don't serve us and bringing in more energy and light and vibrancy by doing more of the things that we love. So this holiday season, may you listen to your heart, to your being, and really do some things that bring you great joy, whatever those are.
Oh. That's so beautiful, Heather Ash. We could talk about this all day long. There's so many more questions I have that I want to ask you. We could probably do a whole series. Maybe we will. Who knows? But thank you so much for your time. It has been such a beautiful pleasure speaking with you. Again, if you want to get in touch with Heather Ash, you can go to her website, heatherashamara.com, or just look up Warrior Goddess Way or Warrior Goddess Training on Google, and I'm sure you will find links to her website as well. And where's the best place for people to get the book?
No, right now my publisher has this crazy special. It's fabulous. It's three books, so Warrior Goddess Training, the Warrior Goddess Companion book, and Warrior Goddess Way for $33, include shipping. Yeah, you can go to hierophantpublishing.com for that offer. And it's also, I believe, on my website as well. And then the book's also available on Amazon. So that's an easy place to get it. And also at all independent bookstores. So support your independent bookstore if you can.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Heather Ash, for the work that you are doing in the world. Take care. And thank you for listening. I want to send you lots of love. And as Heather Ash suggested, listening and tuning into our hearts and getting present. And my wish is that you are able to access that this week. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
When you purchase the latest TV, tablet, or smartphone, don't forget to do the right thing with your old ones. Recycle them. The Consumer Electronics Association and its members are making recycling your old devices as easy as buying new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find recycling tips, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Don't let your